Good morning.
Good morning.
Praise the Lord. And shame on the devil. Okay, well, we'll see what the Lord has in store for us from the Word of God here. The last couple of weeks have definitely been interesting. And I noticed even though we weren't here physically the last couple of weeks, we were here not only in spirit, but also via the radio hookup. So we did not miss any of the services whatsoever. So that is the...
Radio or live stream?
We phoned it in while we were driving.
Oh, good. Awesome.
And when we may have missed one, we downloaded them.
That's what it's all about right there.
Yeah. So we can actually tell you we heard Pastor Miller preaching in South Dakota. You haven't even been there, have you?
No, but we do have a regular group, a few listeners up there. I'm not sure who they are. So if you're in South Dakota, contact us. We'll know who you are.
Oh, absolutely. Just so you know... as far as Wisconsin, Minnesota, and probably half of South Dakota, if you've ever driven in North Ohio from Columbus to north into the farmland, that's what it looks like.
Yeah.
You don't even have to make any guesses. The only thing up there is the farms are bigger, far bigger. And I must have seen over a couple thousand bales of hay scattered throughout all the countryside there. So I know what it's like because this past year I've learned to be a farmer. And my friend taught me how to drive a John Deere tractor, so I know how to tether and how to rake up the grass.
Now you're cool.
That's very cool. And so I thought that was pretty cool that I could look there and I could understand the work that they do out there.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at how gigantic the fields are. And I would tell you this, if you guys drive out towards North and South Dakota and part of Wyoming and part of Montana, make sure you're filled up.
Yes.
Gas stations are few and far between.
And?
What?
And bring a fly swatter.
Oh, yeah. Starting from Minnesota on, it's all flies.
Bring one with you.
You have the hardest time trying to get rid of those rascals, but that's all it is out there, flies. Make sure you have a fly swatter. As far as the gas stations, they're not like ours when you go down to Seach and you've got four rows. Their gas stations, guys, is two pumps on two different islands, and that's it. And one of them is probably diesel. And we're talking few and far
between.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we did. We really roughed it out there.
Like it was back in the pioneer days.
Well, it was fascinating. On our trip, just to let you know, we printed 200 gospel tracts of the American flag, and the one that had Red Skelton in it, explaining how we're all equal. I thought that would be the safest tract to pass out. And we passed out 198 of them. We didn't have anyone turn it down until our last day of the trip. And believe it or not, it was at, a week ago Friday, we went to Wyoming. The very first national park is called Devil's Tower. Now, I just thought we was going to go see just a piece of rock sticking up out of the ground. And I didn't realize till after we got there that that's where the movie Encounters of the Third Kind was filmed at. So that sort of blew me away. But that was fascinating to go there and to see the history. Teddy Roosevelt was the one that helped make it a national monument, I think, in 1906. So it shows you how far back it goes. That was the first place we had the gospel tracts turned down. And
so you were in the Devil's Tower, that's why.
Devil's Tower. Well, we're going to start with verse 12 today, but I have to make a comment in Isaiah 26:10. All right? Because in Isaiah 26:10 it says, "Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness? In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord." All right? Guys, I've tried my best to be nice to every Jehovah Witness I have come across. We're talking the ones I meet in Cincinnati, the ones in Columbus, the ones at the High State game. When we go in October to see High State, there'll be a whole bunch of Jehovah Witnesses standing there, all right, with their little boxes. And these rascals were at the Devil's Tower. And I went to hand them a gospel tract there. And they told me that the American flag was idolatry.
They were at the Devil's Watchtower.
Devil's Watchtower, there you go.
That's what they believe, their heritage. Their
yeah, heritage. Totally. And then they proceeded to tell me that the flag was an idol. I'm thinking, there's no common sense with these people. And there were four ladies there. And I was just, I'm trying to be nice so they can be one. But they were devils, all right? And so, in the future, I'm working on a 1 to 2 minute spiel that when I come across these people, forgive me if you don't see me being nice and kind to them, because they don't want to be nice and kind. They're in a shell and they're going to die and go to hell. Because they don't have the Word of God. And the first thing I want to point out to them is that the Bible they have is the devil's Bible. And I have a copy of the devil's Bible. And I see where they took 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, and where they actually change the English from what it says in the Greek. Change it. And just so they want to get one over me, I have a King James Bible with their same manuscript, and they change it.
Just for FYI, in case you get a chance to talk to them about it, they don't get that from any Greek text.
It's, correct.
They got it from they found a French Bible by a guy named Johannes Gruber, getting that thing with a baby food, Gruber. Switch the E and the R and have Gruber. But I always do the name association. Sometimes it doesn't even make sense, but it works. But anyway, he was in the occult, and he wrote and actually told people that he got that translation where they add the letter A, so that it says the word was a god.
Right.
When they add that letter A, and Johannes Gruber got that in a seance.
Wow.
So when you say it's, the devil's Bible, they literally got John 1:1 from the devil.
Yeah.
In their Bible.
Wow.
And I hate to inform you, but he's still having that seance. Okay? Except he's in a lot of pain right now at that seance. Because he's rejected. They also reject the blood of Christ for salvation. Guys, one of the things that happened in the early, I'm thinking might be around 1820 or something in France, as one of the last times they had a beheading. And up to that point, whether man or woman, they told you, man up, be a woman, take it. All right? And one of the last people that they beheaded was a woman. And when she realized the horror of what she was going through, she was yelling and screaming at the top of her voice. And what that yelling and screaming did was pierce the conscience of all the people around them. And soon thereafter, that was the end of the beheadings. Right? The Jehovah's Witnesses have to be treated the same way. Something has to pierce their conscience to realize they're dying and going to hell. And I'm not saying go look for them. Just that when they show up, you need to have your own little spiel. And if there's any anger in you whatsoever, that's the time to use that anger. And you can do anger in love. Mm-hmm. These people are damning everybody they hand the literature to.
Amen.
I was so frustrated and angry after that incident. And guys, we can be nice and kind to everybody you want to be. But there comes to a point when you come across certain groups, you can't be nice and kind to them.
That's when you do that.
Yeah. You know, you can start to be nice and kind to them, and the moment they show that they're a stupid idiot, at that point, discern from God if it's time to bring out the six bangers, you know, and start going to town with them and show them that they need Christ.
The former Jehovah's Witnesses that I've talked to and read, you can read books by former Jehovah's Witnesses who became Christians. That's one thing, is most former Jehovah's Witnesses go atheist, agnostic when they leave. But the ones who did become Christians said there were two main things that God used to reach them. That was the deity of Christ, and then the gospel message personally. So when you tell them your personal testimony, because the Jehovah's Witness doesn't have a personal relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
And the idea of praying and talking to the Father in an intimate way is foreign to the Jehovah's Witness. They have a works-based idea that if they survive Armageddon, they go to a paradise earth. They don't have an idea of being born again, having the Spirit of God, and a personal walk with the Lord.
Yeah.
So from all the former Jehovah's Witnesses I've talked to, and that's actually true with Mormons too. They stick to the deity of Christ because their Jesus is not God. It's a fake Jesus. And when they realize that the Bible was always taught until their 19th, 20th century translation, although all Bibles teach the deity of Christ.
Yeah.
Still in Hebrews 1:8 in their Bible, by the way.
Yeah.
And when you emphasize the deity of Christ and your personal salvation and testimony, that is what former Jehovah's Witness saying spoke to them more than anything.
Amen. Great. Great wisdom there. Because when you read the book of Acts, three times the Apostle Paul has his testimony given. And that's just a reminder to us that if God uses his testimony, he wants to use our testimony. And it also is a reminder to us that if we're living in works related with the Lord, which is so possible, that is the reason we don't use our own testimony is because we're not in fellowship with the Lord. And it just becomes a workspace to cover up sin, when indeed the blood of Christ is what covers and cleanses and forgets all sin.
Amen.
So, but other than that, we had a great trip. We had a very great trip, and we got the chance to get the gospel. We actually, the day before we went to the Devil's Tower, we made a veer just so we could tell you we've been to North Dakota. We took a little veer from our excursion and drove up to the first town that we could find in North Dakota. It's called Bowman. We do have three souvenirs from going that direction. The road we travel on was gravel. And we have three dings in our windshield.
Four.
Okay, I saw three. We have four dings in the windshield from doing that venture. But I look at those four dings as what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I bear in my body the marks.
Oh, come on.
The marks.
It looks like you might be getting a new windshield.
Johnny.
I think the four dings actually came from our trip to Custer's Last Stand.
No. Oh, really? The fourth one?
No.
It was? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Johnny, go ahead. And since you raised your hand, open us up with the word of prayer, and we'll get into it.
Dear Lord, I want to thank you that we can come here and learn your word. Just recently Jenny and I got to see be reminded of what the more wishy-washy teaching is like. So we thank you for your word, and we pray you'll help us to learn today and to be able to have good fellowship with the believers here. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen. All right, well, let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 26. We'll start with verse 12. and hopefully go to the end to chapter 21. So let's go ahead and let's all start with the even, and I'll do the odd ones. Verse 12. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast brought all our works in us. O Lord, our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name.
They are dead.
They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore
hast thou visited and destroyed them,
and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth.
Lord, in trouble have they visited thee.
They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery, is in pain, and crieth out at her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord.
We have been with child. We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth,
neither have the inhabitants of the world fall. Thy dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead.
My people,
enter thou into thy chambers,
and shut thy doors about thee.
Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. Amen and amen. All right, starting with verse 12. It says here, Lord, thou will ordain peace for us. All right, the peace that God has ordained for Israel will technically be for the whole earth. And we call that the millennial reign of Christ. Amen. And this is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verses 1 through 6, which I'm sure you guys are familiar with. So let's take a look at the next part for us. His reminder in verse 12, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. Guys, if God doesn't do the work in us, then he doesn't do anything at all. We are evil. We are corrupt. Amen. And that's why we need to have the new birth. That's why we need to have the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit. If he doesn't do the work, nothing's going to happen. When I pass out gospel tracts, I always remind the Lord, like he needs a reminder, Lord, I'm obeying the word, I'm carrying out the gospel, but unless you light the match here, nothing's going to happen. Lord, this is your work. It has to be you. It has nothing to do with me at all, other than the fact that I'm being obedient to your word. And I ask your blessings upon your word to help these people to come to know Christ as their personal Savior. Lord, there's no magicness to any of the tracts I design. All right? All I'm doing is putting the word of God in it and hoping they read it and hoping that when they read the word of God, the Holy Spirit will bring them to conviction and bring them into God's presence, and then they see the plan of salvation and accept Christ as Savior.
I still, John, answer people just as recently as last week who are grieved over the fact that God's not answering their prayers when they witness to people and pray for them. And I have to tell them the problem isn't God. The problem is their misunderstanding of their role and God's role in salvation. God answers prayer. He convicts people, but he will not force anybody. And so when somebody doesn't get saved, it's not God not answering
the
prayer.
Like you just said.
And then that's the people just don't understand that, and so they get frustrated and quit. They quit trying to pray for people who are lost. They quit trying to witness to people. And it's all because, it's like we always say, if you don't do things biblically, then you'll get discouraged and quit. just, I've said it numerous times in our teaching and everything, but, you know, there's people who, we have new listeners come along and everything, and it tortures people.
Like
because
said,
they think God's not answering their prayer. He is answering your prayer, but he will not force anybody to get saved.
Like you said, we were talking about this yesterday or something, but every time, you know, if we pray and you give out the gospel, God does answer that prayer.
Oh, he does. Absolutely.
You may not know until the judgment, because they are convicted, because God promises that we can do that.
If your prayer is for God to do what he will do. But if your prayer is, dear Lord, please save that person, he'll save them. We don't have to pray about that. We know that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
The prayer has to be, dear Lord, use your word to convict
them.
Yes. But it's up to that person, and unless you're a Calvinist. You know?
And it goes back to the selling and the watering and the...
Yeah. Well, I was just reflecting, even in the last 24 hours, guys, how many times, think about this within your own life, because I have to think about it with mine. How many times since you've been saved, when you had the nudge of the Lord saying, come fellowship with me, and you said, well, not right now. Not right now. He said, well, how about let's fellowship this evening? And you said, well, I've got something going on at that time. Okay? How many times has he nudged you and said, how about memorize this verse? And all of a sudden, you're off into another la-la land. Okay? Or how many times has he talked to you and said, witness to this guy? And all of a sudden you got cold feet. He's giving you the power to witness that person. You're going, oh no, I can't do that. Now, if that's happening with us and we're saved, how in the world is that happening with the unsaved people out there?
Right.
All right? I'm looking back at my own life and I'm going, oh my, I've got a lot to repent of. I'm starting to enjoy the Word of God in ways I never dreamed of right now. And I sure wish I'd have done it in the earlier days. You know, I wish there would have been more Christians around me to encourage me to do the same. But you know what? They were doing the same thing I was. And we keep evaluating and judging people. And we say, oh yeah, well, so-and-so's got all this baggage. They're not going to do nothing for the Lord. And so before you know it, you have that image in your mind that you can't do anything for the Lord because you don't fit the cookie cutter that's coming out with all these churches out there. And guys, whatever breath of life I have left between now and the time of the rapture, I'm going to blow that away as best I can. I'm going to encourage every person I can, regardless of what your circumstances are, God can use you. And he doesn't have to use you for 1,000 things. He may only have your life designed to do one thing. Don't miss the one thing he's calling you to do. Be open in your spirit to him. It says here in verse 12, and we do need to have this as a reminder, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. There are three things. I've got down four things here. First of all, he subdues our carnal mind. Let's see who's got Romans chapter 8, 1 through 4. Romans 8. Johnny, Romans 8, 1 through 4. I need to have someone get Philippians 2, 13. Doug, Philippians 2, 13. I need to have someone get Hebrews 13, 21. Hebrews 13, 21. Right there, okay? And then Brian, if you'll get Genesis 39:3.
Hold on, who was person number three?
Huh?
Who was person number three?
In the back row.
Okay, one of those shifty characters.
But Jennifer, I'll let you get Acts 1:8.
Oh.
Let.
Okay.
Steve said he could do Genesis.
Okay. Let's get Mark 12:24.
Is that for who, me?
No, for him, and I'll let you get the last one. 1 John 1:7. These are, guys, we'll have a little fun with the rest of the scriptures here, but we need to have a reminder on a constant basis of what God does working within us. So who's got number Romans 8, 1 through 4?
That'll be me.
Oh, that was Johnny.
Romans There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Amen. That's the work of the Lord, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, working the righteousness of God in us. Okay, who has Philippians 2:13? Doug, go ahead. Wait a minute, Jenny's coming.
For it is a guide which worketh in you both to the will and to do of his good pleasure.
How about that? It is the Lord. He does the will. He does the work. It's him. It's him. All glory and praise to him. All right, let's see. Hebrews 13:21. That's, I think, in the background right there.
Make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. He does that perfect will. He does it all through Christ in us, the hope of glory. Genesis 39:3, I think Brian over here.
And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand.
Amen. Anything the Lord has us do to prosper, to glorify his name, he does the work. He does the work. There are three things that we need to remember about the power of God. Who's got Acts 1:8? Jenny.
Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
Amen and amen. The power is what? The Holy Spirit is from him. Now for us, we could have said that that power was used to go to South Dakota, North Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, Minnesota, all right? And yes, we went to Wisconsin, Chicago. You want to avoid Chicago whenever you can. Yep. Traffic was horrible. But we took the gospel everywhere, and we had fun doing it. Okay? Power in the Spirit. And, okay, Steve right here has got Mark 12:24, a reminder of where the power comes from. Mark 12:24.
And Jesus answering said unto them, do ye not therefore err, because ye know not the scriptures, neither the power of God.
How about that? Excellent. Guys, if we make any errors at all, it's because we don't know the scriptures. We don't spend any time in it. We haven't read it. We haven't memorized it. It's an amazing book. In our flesh nature does not want to spend any more than 5 minutes if we have to. Okay? In fact, in some churches, the daily bread, three verses, or one verse, and you're good for the day. I hate to tell you that. The Bible's got more than one verse in it, okay? It's got a whole stack, 31,000 verses. And it doesn't matter where you do your Bible studies at. Even if it's an obscure Bible study. Because the Lord is going to take that obscure Bible study you just did and take a couple more over here and start connecting them like a puzzle. And it all fits together. You're going to see the bigger picture, and your mouth is going to drop and go, wow, what a great, great God we have.
John,
yeah.
I've seen this over and over where I've taught something, but I've had people tell me, well, I remember you teaching something on this, but at the time I just thought, you know, it didn't really affect me. And then when it does affect them, they're not prepared because they didn't. It's just people listen. A lot of times they're only listening for something that they think is about them.
Yeah.
In the here and now. Instead of seeing what we're here for is to learn the whole Bible.
Absolutely.
And be prepared so that no matter what comes at us, we're ready for it. And later today, I'm going to deal with a thing about the hyper-dispensationalist teaching. And there's a time, a few years ago, I taught something else along that lines on hyper-dispensational teaching. And somebody was listening and turned it off and just didn't pay attention. And within a year or so later, their whole church was being split over that issue. And they were then scrambling to learn about it.
Yeah.
But they had been listening a year earlier and didn't pay attention because they didn't think not really needed to get up.
So we're supposed to be doors of the Lord, not forgetful.
Not forgetful hearers, but a lot of people don't hear in the first place, too. They're just, if it's not something like, oh, that affects me. Well, what if it doesn't? You still need to learn it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's something that will affect you most likely at some point.
Yeah. Okay. We call that selective hearing.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay, the last verse right over here. We have the power of the Word, the power of the Spirit.
But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
Amen. I love that verse. Unfortunately, in our walk with the Lord, we're going to come across different brothers and sisters that will hold sin over our head for our whole life.
Yep.
All right? And they will not forgive. And I've watched it, and I'm just exploding on the inside because I'm seeing the devastation of 20, 30, 40 years later. But when there's no forgiveness, the blood cleanses us from all sin. And what we just read here, if we take a look in just comparing scripture with scripture, how about that? Verse 21. Notice in verse 21 here, the last part of it, for the earth shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. That blood doesn't save. We have the blood that saves from sin. Just comparing those two right there, you've got a wealth of meditation right there. And what does the earth do covering up the slain here? It's trying to hide the sin. Trying to hide the sin. I've noticed in the last year from different stories I've picked up from different people, there are some people that know what's going on in this country. And they try to come out and try to tell other people what's going on. And the one guy down south of Florida, he gets assassinated. Another guy here in Ohio ends up in a barn, hanging down. All right? Another one is acting, and the gun happens to be loaded. Different people, they want to tell what's going on, and they get shot. And the story gets covered up. And guys, the perfect murderers will all come out, as we see in this last part of the verse, in verse 21 here. Every perfect murder is going to come out before the Lord, and it won't be so perfect at that time. And what's going to happen? They'll slip right into hell. They thought they got by with it, and they didn't. And guys, we don't get by with our sins either. That's why the blood of Jesus Christ is saying cleanses us from all sin. That's our foundation right there, the mercy of the Lord. And I thank the Lord every day for His mercy. Because when I look in the mirror and I start seeing how wicked and vile I really am, I'm going, oh my, and the Lord had mercy on me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. He is a great God. Those are some of the things we have to be reminded of on a daily basis. Remember, you have the power of God within you. It's through the Holy Spirit. We have the perfect book, guys. Look at all the churches. All the churches I've grown up with in this area have apostatized. They can't even tell the people they have the perfect book. All right? I was just reading something by one of the Jesuits this past week. And I have to quit reading that stuff because it's so depressing. But if you have a Bible from the National Council of Churches, the Jesuits say, we have control over that church. We have control. How about that? And we're talking independent or our... they're no longer independent. Southern Baptist churches in this area that have those phony Bibles running around. They have a control coming outside. Not the control of God, the control of a different spirit.
Just a reminder, I pointed out last week, this whole chapter, these are song lyrics.
Yes.
It's just ironic that during times of apostasy, it's one of the things you'll see. Totally apostate. It's filled with homosexuals. It seems like every few months, one of these most popular CCM artists is coming out as a homo, lesbian, whatever, or coming out as an ally, kind of thing. And it just, this song that we're reading about stands in total contrast to the music of apostate.
Well, here's something to be kept in mind when you pull back the curtains, guys. I think it was in the either 80s or going into the 90s, this guy came out with a song that said, "Let's buy America back." Because he noticed everything that was happening in America was being bought out by foreigners and being substituted with foreign doctrine. All right? And if you take a look at Romans, I think it's Isaiah chapter 1 that we discussed when we started off our Bible study. It said the foreigners are coming in, buying up all the property. So this guy came out with a song, "Let's Buy America Back." As soon as that song started getting in the top 40, one single phone call from Germany. Guys, get this, from Germany. This guy, within 7 days... his entire world tour was gone. Every CD was gone. And if there were VHSs, they were gone. Everything about this guy was gone off the market in 7 days, and he was unemployed.
He was canceled.
And he couldn't get back in. He had to go underground. So once he found the underground market, the U.S. government went after him for taxes. Which tells you the connection with the government and Germany. And so when we hear these Christian stars coming out saying, "Well, I'm not for the gays, not for this," pray for them, pray for what's happening behind the scenes, because as soon as their contract is gone, they're off the market. And right there's where it's all about money, guys. And for us here at BBF, it's not about money. It's about getting the Word of God out so people can get saved and get grounded in the Word of God. We have to be reminded, but that's what happens behind the scenes, Jennifer.
What's the name of the person? I'm seeing if it's on YouTube.
Of the what?
What's the name of the person?
I don't remember his name. It was a great song.
Okay.
I'll have to think hard because we're talking over 30 years ago. But look for the phrase, "Let's buy America back."
Okay.
But, I mean, if you can't find it, it's mean they totally wiped it off everything. George, totally clear. And the Internet is not infallible, guys. The Internet is fallible. There are certain people out of our history books that have totally disappeared. And you can't find them on the Internet if you tried to, because they're not there. Let's go to verse 13. O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. All right. As the pastor mentioned, being a song, there's a reminder for these people that they've been under other lords. Now, obviously, going through Isaiah, who are the other lords? Babylon. How about Assyria? Upcoming is going to be Rome. Other lords. And they didn't treat them very well at all. And so that's why the guy says here, we're not going to mention them anymore. Because all it does is by remembering the other lords, it brings back pain and suffering and sorrow. We're now back with the real Lord that loves us and cares for us and wants to protect us. That's the gist of that verse right there. Also have written down here out of 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, it talks about not comparing ourselves with other people. Well, that's the same thing comparing lords with other lords. All right? Because what happens once you start making the comparisons, you can become vanity. You can become proud. It's the other reason, too, for young people getting married is not to keep trying everybody out, you know, in the immorality area. Because what happens is that after you find the one you like, the other person's also been shopping around, and now they're going to compare. Well, you're not as happy as this person was. Or you're not as good doing this as so-and-so was. And so you can't build a marriage on that because it's always going to break and fall apart because there's the remembrance of the, quote-unquote, the other lords, the other people that you've been around with. It's very important to stick with the Lord and stay with the Lord. And when you, marriage partners, date whatsoever, or court, but don't mess around. Have one person only and stick with it. Yeah.
2 minutes.
2 minutes? Wow. Yeah, boy, that went quick. Okay, let's go with one other verse 14. They are dead. They shall not live. Let's talk about all the ones that were the other lords. They are dead. They shall not live. They are diseased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. All right? All the enemies of Israel in this verse here are perished. They are totally gone. And when you get some time, take a look at Psalm 83:4, because in the last days, we say this is a double fulfillment. In the last days, all the countries that are surrounding Israel, found in Psalm 83, want to wipe off their memory off the planet. They want to wipe off their memory. And what happens? It gets reversed. The memory of all the bad guys get wiped out. That's the power of the Lord. And then last of all, verse 15. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. In the end times, coming up, when the Lord Jesus Christ rules and reigns out of Jerusalem, the kingdom of God will spread throughout the entire earth, corner to corner. There will not be such thing as a Buddhist worshiping God.
Amen.
They will all have the word of God and worship God just like the Jews. All right? There won't be any Confucius. There won't be any Roman Catholics. Guys, there won't be any Baptists. They'll all be worshiping the Lord according to the word of God. The nation of Israel, the worship style would be out through the entire planet. And that's where we have to leave it off here. That's okay. We had a little bit of fun today. We have to be reminded, guys, a lot of times we feel powerless of what's going on in the world. We have the power with us. Find out. Get it in the book. The Lord, he does the work. And he will protect us and he will guide us. But we have to be in contact with him. So, Brian, if you don't mind closing this out.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this time today. Thank you for this time that we can spend with our brothers and sisters. Thank you for the opportunity to learn from your word. And thank you for bringing the all balls back safely so that we can hear John's teaching today. And it's in your son's name I pray.
Amen. Amen.
See you in the midnight lighters, get your tea.